some significant news that is raising a lot of concerns, and it relates to China. Ryan Young is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and he joins us this morning to talk about where we stand in trade, especially with Donald Trump kind of going back and forth. Ryan, when he went to the G20 summit, he was in a standoff with China, supposedly had a great meeting with the president of China and said that there was some sort of truce for the next 90 days. And now the news is getting out that there was an arrest of a Chinese tech exec in Canada in the last few days. And that's got everybody wondering whether the truce will stay on or off. What do you know?
Well, one thing I know is that as we learn more and more about what went on at the G20 summit, turns out a lot fewer firm promises were made than were initially advertised. In fact, there's confusion over some very basic facets of the agreement, such as the 90-day delay in the U.S. implementing new tariffs against China, raising what we have from 10% to 25%. That was advertised as a 90-day ceasefire because the increase is currently scheduled to go into effect on January 1. So you figure, okay, then the tariffs won't go up until March 1. Then later, it turns out, and apparently this was a surprise to some of the president's senior advisors, the 90-day agreement was effective December 1, so it's really only 60 days. So tariffs will go back up after 60 days after January 1 instead of 90. And just little things like that. And then there are a lot of things that the president was bragging about that President Xi is saying that, no, we never agreed to that. And it's turning
out to be. What do you make
of
that? Is that the Chinese kind of trying to embarrass President Trump? Or, and I hate to say it, I'm a Trump supporter, but it does seem like sometimes he gets out ahead of himself and says that a deal is finalized when it hasn't been. And maybe that's a technique to try to force the other side to agree to something that they, you know, were kind of hesitant. What do you make of this?
I think Trump got a little too excited. He's made trade into one of his signature issues, and China is the big fish on that big issue. China has a lot of unfair trade practices, from government ownership and control requirements to forced technology transfers. And those have to stop, and we're not the only country with a grievance against that. So if President Trump can make something happen on that front, that would be a major victory regardless of your politics.
Right.
Even the president's critics would give him credit for that. The president knows this, so he viewed this G20 meeting as a huge opportunity. So when he sat down with President Xi, a ceasefire is good, and of course, it doesn't actually reverse any of the policies on either side that have been put into effect in the last year that have increased consumer prices and all that. But it's turning out even what they did agree to is not as much as they initially thought. And I think maybe in the excitement of the moment, the president overpromised and underdelivered instead of the opposite approach, which was generally a little more wise.
Then in his tweet, he actually called himself Tariff Man, saying if this didn't work out as he anticipated, that he didn't have any problem slapping tariffs or increasing tariffs, which are taxes that wind up being passed along to all of us. And a lot of people that I've been reading about who are economists and who are following the markets are suggesting that the rough week that we've had has been directly because of that tweet. Do you think that's true?
I think it reveals that President Trump has a very fundamental misunderstanding of how trade works. He seems to actually think that when he puts a tariff on Chinese goods, China pays it. They don't. U.S. consumers pay for it. We pay a higher price, and the money that goes into the U.S. Treasury is paid by consumers. The president at the same time has been bragging about how it's raised about $7 billion in revenue. Which is nice, but, for one, the
at what
deficit.
Cost?
Yeah.
Well, what about Bob Lighthizer? I mean, this guy who is our trade rep, he's been around the block many, many times for, 40 or 50 years. Do you think he is coordinating with the president? I've been trying to get an idea of whether he was, you know, sidelined or whether he actually is able to speak on behalf of the administration and get things done without being undercut. Any insight into that?
Well, the reason he got his job in the first place is because he is generally sympathetic to the president's trade views. Mm-hmm. But the White House is, they don't have set rules and procedures the way most other administrations do, so it's entirely possible that Lighthizer is getting undercut. Basically, what we're looking at is a huge amount of uncertainty for an issue that's very important to the president as well as to the economy at large. And while it's nice that there's a ceasefire currently in effect, the fact that there's so much uncertainty, even regarding that relatively minor policy, does not bode well for the future.
Yeah. Let me ask you for your insight on this arrest that apparently happened in Canada. I think, if I'm reading this correctly, last weekend, a Chinese tech exec who is the very plugged in with the leadership in China. Do you know much about this? And if the details that we're getting are true and this person's so well connected to China, I gotta believe that's going to rile everybody up here.
No, I don't know much about that. What I do know,
I think it's just kind of coming out today in the last few hours. I don't mean to spring it on you, but let's assume that what I'm telling you is accurate, which may be a big assumption. What's your instinct on it?
My instinct is that the Chinese government is so intertwined with all of its major businesses that deal with the outside world that there's usually some kind of sketchy angle here, not necessarily related to political espionage, but maybe just not necessarily working in good faith deals with its other suppliers and customers.
Yeah, you can bet they don't have the same rules for disclosures that we do here in the United States. So you gotta watch your back when you're dealing with them. Ryan Young, who's with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, I really appreciate you joining us this morning to talk through it. It's an important issue that is easy to gloss over, but it has an impact on all of us. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, John.